Blog Talk Radio.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanks. I'll be a
glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We glorify you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. Hallelujah. This is Pastor Carlos A. Ramos Jr. of The Way, The Truth, and the Lie, host here on Blog Talk Radio. You could call us at 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press that, and look for the one, press that, and you will be connected with the studio so you could be a participant in the study. We are studying today. We're going to continue our study, Is Christianity Real? Today, we're going to start a little series speaking about the power of God. We enumerated seven. I'm sure there's a lot more than that we could break the scriptures down to, but we're going to look at only seven right now. The first one that we're going to look at today is called The Power of Change. Hallelujah. And if we have time, we're going to be looking into the power in the name. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. Power of change. Once again, we would encourage you to invite your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio. The telephone number is 516-418-5944. Look for the number sign, press number 1 if you want to be connected with the studio. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. You could call us with your testimony, questions, or comments. Glory be to the Lord regarding the power of God. Hallelujah. And we would address that. We would stop what we're doing, and we would address the question, the comment, or the testimony as the Lord leads us. And we believe that the Holy Spirit is in control of everything and that we're going to follow his direction. Power of change. Is Christianity real? So that's the question we all have to ask ourselves and answer it. Is Christianity real? There is about 4,200 religions out there in the world, but there's only one empty tomb. Glory be to the Lord God Almighty. One empty tomb. Hallelujah. The gospel message is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. And it simply says, Jesus Christ came, died, was buried according to the scriptures, resurrected on the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel, my brothers and sisters. Anything else added to that, it's a blessing that we get by way of the Holy Spirit that's in us. Glory be to the Lord. And there's a reason why God gives us the different subtopics that we study in the scriptures. We are studying, is Christianity real? And we do a little comparison with the other religions, the major religions that we have in the world, like Judaism, like Islam, and we analyze in the scriptures and see what the scriptures say. And, you know, if you're a true man or woman of God, whether you follow Judaism, Islamic, or Christianity, you have to acknowledge the scriptures and what the scripture says. And when you acknowledge them, you receive them for what they are, for what God said. And, you know, we hold to that. So just like the three men that were cast into the fire, we read, obey God, then obey man. Hallelujah. So if my belief is contradiction to the teachings of Judaism, the teaching of Islamic, then that's what I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe what the Word of God says. And we believe through the scriptures, like Hebrews says, in times past and in different ways, God spoke to us through the prophets. Hallelujah. But in these last days, has spoken to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And we know another thing is that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. Hallelujah. The Word of God says in Isaiah, here a little, there a little, precept upon precept, concept upon concept. The Word of God speaks for itself. It identifies itself. You don't have to have a scholarship education to understand the scriptures. What you have to have is an open heart. Believe what the Holy Spirit is teaching you and revealing to you regarding the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is a true Messiah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We know that the Jewish people are waiting for Messiah ben David and Messiah ben Joseph. Not understanding, they rejected Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He fulfilled the prophecies. The prophet Micah said he would be born in Bethlehem, and he was. In Isaiah, he was supposed to be born from a virgin, and he was. Glory be to the Lord. Isaiah, again, 61, he was supposed to open the eyes of the blind, heal the sick, open the ears of the deaf, preach the acceptable year to the Gentiles of the nations, and he did. He was buried and resurrected. According to the Psalms, David wrote in the 16th Psalm, in the 22nd Psalm, that God would not allow his body to see corruption. Hallelujah. So he will raise on the third day, because according to the Jewish law belief, on the fourth day, the body begins to decay. The Islamic are waiting for their caliphate in order to receive their Messiah. And some of them claim that they believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of Mary. However, they don't believe in the cross. And this is where they're going to have a problem. Because in the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, when Yeshua HaMashiach comes back the second time to rescue Israel, they ask him a question, where did you get these marks from? And he's going to say, I got them in my friend's house. That's in the prophet Zechariah chapter 12 and on. And you can read it for yourself. The Jesus that there's an Islamic belief don't have no marks. What marks are we talking about? The marks of the cross, the nail prints on his wrists, the nail prints on his feet, the puncture wound on his side from the spear, the crown of thorns imprints on his forehead, his head, the whipping in his back and his body. Their Messiah don't have none of this. They don't believe in the crucifixion, so their Messiah don't have any of these marks. But the Jewish people will, some of the Jewish people will see these marks. They're going to realize this is Yeshua HaMashiach. And some of them are going to go into the mountains and wait for the coming of the Lord with his army, which is we, the born again Christians, are going to come back as his bride, as the army of heaven. And Christ is going to defeat the enemy, the Satan, his army, with the breath of his mouth, the words that comes out of his mouth. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. But let us take a journey. Let us go back to the beginning and see where all this started and how he accumulates. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, so let's have a word of prayer before we begin. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We glorify you. Lord, we thank you for the open door here on Block Talk Radio. We pray that you bless those that are behind the scenes. We don't hear them. We don't see them, but we know they're there, Father God. Pray that this transmission goes throughout the whole world and that your words, which are sacred, oh Lord God, would go into somebody's house, into somebody's heart, and bear fruit. Father God, we know that you sent your Holy Spirit to bring forth conviction. And I pray that your people will be drawn by your Spirit so you may receive all the glory and honor. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, Father God, if we ask that you search us deep with your Holy Spirit like a lamp. If there's anything within us that is not pleasing unto you, we ask that you reveal it to us so we could confess it and repent of it, oh Father God, because your word says to have repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we glorify you, Father God, for this opportunity that we have. And Lord, Father God, we thank you for my brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the world at this time. Some of them are waking up, Father God, and I just pray that you give them an encouragement. You give them strength, oh, Father God. Some of them are going to sleep, Father God, and just pray that you watch over them as they sleep. Give them sweet dreams, Father God. And let no harm and danger come their way. Dispatch your angels to protect them, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Father God, with your authority, in the name of Jesus that you have given unto us, we bind every hindering spirit, every spirit of confusion, every spirit that brings forth, Father God, a evil word against you, in the name of Jesus. We bind them, command them to go to the dry places, never to return again, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we release, Father God, your word, your spirit unto everyone so people could receive revelation and understanding and wisdom and knowledge of your word, Father God. I pray, oh Father, that your word will penetrate the hearts, Father God. Let it fall upon good ground. Let it be planted upon good ground, and let that ground bring forth abundance. Father God, in the precious name of Jesus, we thank you and glorify you. Amen. If you go with me to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, we're going to read something very interesting. Just one verse. And it says this, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So we see prior to this verse, we see how God created the heavens and the earth. We see there was a disturbance between verse 1 and 2. God saw everything. He said it was very good. But something happened on the way. Something happened. And, you know, the word of God says, before the foundations of the world, God knew us. So this, what occurred in chapter 3, had occurred in the spirit, and Jesus knew about it. God the Father knew about it. The Holy Spirit knew about it. And they knew that it was going to carry on to this day, and there was going to be a change that's going to take place. Let's read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 15, and we'll see what it says. It says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Well, we see that he's questioning God's word. Let's to chapter 2, and we're going to go, and we're going to read from verses 16 onward and to 16 and 19. Yes, it says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And Adam gave names to all the cattle and to all the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helpmate for him. So the commandment was given to Adam. It says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. So now here we have the serpent questioning God's word. Yea, chapter 3, verse 1. Yea, had God said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden? It's not what God said. Also, we know from scripture that the woman is the weaker vessel. Nehesh came to the woman. He didn't come to Adam. The commandment was given to Adam, and Adam spoke to his wife. He must have spoken to his wife and told her the condition of not eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But the devil tried to trick Eve, telling her a half a truth. Yea, had God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden. He didn't say of every tree of the garden. God said, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. So he tried to present Eve with a lie, because half a truth is a lie. And that's what happens. Eve didn't recognize what the serpent did, and he brought forth confusion, and she fell for it. Then in verse 3 says, the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Well, the thing is, she also did not give the whole truth, because God said of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. She's saying the tree in the middle of the garden. Now, we know that besides the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there was a tree of life in the middle of the garden. So she did not respond back with the correct answer, correct response. But of the fruit, verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle, midst of the garden. You see that? It doesn't say the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It doesn't say the tree of life. It says that she says the tree which is in the midst of the garden. But God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it. And God didn't say anything about touching. He just says something about eating, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. And right there, he's appealing to her upper self, because she misquoted the scripture. He lied to her, and she's confused. And now he said, you shall not die. But God said to Adam, you shall surely die. Now, remember, God created man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. God made Adam in his image. And God is a spirit. So Adam was made a spiritual man housed by this earthly vessel. And then it goes on to say in verse 5, for God does not know. This is what the serpent is saying to the woman, that God doesn't know. That in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took up the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Imagine that. So Adam is standing there right alongside Eve, and he's allowing this stranger, the serpent, to speak to Eve regarding the fruit. Now, some people indicate that this serpent was a stranger, and I don't believe that he was a stranger. I think he was well known, because he's a fallen angel. But at one time, God's counsel used to come to the earth in the garden, and that's where they would have counsel. So Adam and Eve was very much aware of this angelic being. But this angelic being fell down when he tried to usurp his authority above God. And now he's trying to destroy the thing that God created, his image. And the woman took of the fruit. It doesn't say apple. So there's a lot of people out there, they misquote the scripture and they say apple. No, the Bible doesn't say apple. You don't read it in the English version. You don't read it in the Latin version, the Greek or the Hebrew or the Syriac apple. You read fruit. It could have been anything. Only God knows what fruit there was. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And verse 7. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So right there it says fig leaves together. It could have been a fig. We don't know. They made aprons of fig leaves. So we don't know what type of fruit it was. It could have been figs. Figs, we don't know. The Bible doesn't give us an answer as to what type of fruit it was. But here, it could be taken as a hint. It could be taken as an eye-opener. It says that they sew fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. So it could have been the fig fruit that they ate, but we're not sure. So it's better. And you know, the Bible doesn't relate that to us. So, you know, the most important thing is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I don't want you to be confused. It says they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, they heard the voice of God. He was calling out to Adam, Adam, where art thou? So they heard the voice. They were in the garden, and he was looking for them. But God knew exactly what they were. He just wanted to know if they knew what they were. They just disobeyed God, and they just fell from being innocent to being sinful. Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. You see, that's what gives you a hint. The scripture itself identifies himself from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of his garden, of the garden. So we see that the Lord God was moving about the garden. They heard his voice and they hid themselves. Why? Because they realized that they were naked. And the Lord God, verse 9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? You know, God knew exactly where Adam was. He just wanted to know where, if he knew where he was. It's like, for instance, you and I are out here in this world. We've been born. We go about our business. And, you know, God is a thing in our minds, but we don't put ourselves out there to serve God. We are serving ourselves. We're doing different things. And not until we get in trouble do we call unto God. But God could be calling to us in different manners. I mean, he could be using people out in the streets, evangelists, pastors, apostles, teachers, prophets. He could be using all kinds of people to reach us. He's calling out to us. And we are ignoring his call. Adam and Eve did not ignore the voice of the Lord. They hid themselves, thinking that they could hide from God who created everything. But they hid themselves. Let's go on to verse 10. And he said, I heard thy voice. This is Adam speaking. In the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So Adam there is telling the truth, right? And he said, and this is God speaking, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? You notice he's stressing Adam commanded thee, because the woman was not created yet. She was not made yet. It was Adam who was created, and God gave Adam the commandment. The man said, the woman whom thou gavest to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. So now Adam is trying to pass the buck, trying to say that God did it. It was his fault because he brought her to him, and she's the first one who fell into sin and gave unto him to eat also. And the Lord God, verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So now she's trying to pass the buck unto the serpent. Yes, he deceived her, because that's what the Bible says. She was the first to be deceived. She's the wicked vessel. So she's trying to relate. Adam said, the woman you gave me, she said, the serpent that you created. So she's trying to pass the buck. The serpent beguiled me. That means he deceived me. And that's what happened. She ate of the fruit. And in verse 14, it says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Between thee and thy and the seed and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That is the prophecy. That is the prophecy of the Messiah right there. Because, first of all, you have to remember one thing. A woman does not have a seed. A woman has an egg. Women produce eggs. They don't produce seed. Only men produce seed. Now, you know, the enemy tried to distort, damage the lineage by different avenues. If you read the Old Testament, you see how the devil tried to distort the lineage because he knew that the seed of a woman, but that's where he got confused. A woman does not produce seed. A woman produces eggs. And he didn't know that. God knew that. God created her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So something happened, and there was a change. Everything was very good, but then when the serpent came in and Adam and Eve came in, there was a change that occurred. And that change was that Adam and Eve sinned before God. In verse 3 and 19, we'll continue in the subject of something changed, the power of change. Right there says, in thy sweat of thy face shalt thou eat till thou return unto the ground. For from out of it was thou taken. For thus thou art, and unto thus shalt thou return. He's talking to Adam there because of what Adam did. And that's why you and I, brothers and sisters, we are living, if you study and being a paramedic for 23 and a half years, one thing that I learned when I was studying anatomy and physiology, and that is that the top layer of our body is dead. You ever see on TV how the snakes or how other animals, they come out of their skin and they leave behind the evidence that they came out of their skin? Well, that's the same thing with us, brothers and sisters. When you take a bath, you know, you are cleansing, and that's why we use a towel, a washcloth, and because we want to scrub the whole body of our dead skin because the new skin is arriving. And so our body, the top layer is dead. And so the top layer is returning back to the dust where it was taken from. And so from eternal life that the Adam and Eve could have had, they are now dying physically. The top layer is dead. And ever so often, the body sheds off the top layer, and we have a new body underneath. Glory. That's 3:19. When we go to Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, we're going to read something very interesting from the scriptures there. Ecclesiastes is after Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Or Lamentations is after Jeremiah. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And we're going to go to verse 7. And we're going to read from there. what the scripture says. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ecclesiastes is after Proverbs. So we're going to go to Proverbs. And Proverbs is after Psalms. And we're going to go to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes. And the Word of God is telling us something very interesting. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7, it says, "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." So that's what happened, brothers and sisters. You and I, when we pass from this body, the body will decay and become dust again. And then we will return back to the ground. Because if you remember, God cursed, he cursed the serpent, but he also cursed the ground. He cursed the ground, and we have to look at it. The scriptures are going to give that to you, where God cursed the ground. And so our body, the upper layer is dead, is dying. It flakes off. You know, I use a certain cream on my parts of my body, because if I don't, you know, because I have what they call problem with sebaceous, that the sebaceous gland is underneath your skin. And what it does, it overproduces the oil, and it dries up at nighttime. And the next morning, you see a lot of flakes. So I have seborrhea. So that's what happens, my brothers and sisters. The top layer of our body is dead. It's not going nowhere. It's going back to the dust from where it came from. To 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. And that's a verse that we should know that from the top of our heads. We should know what that scripture says. We should know that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Pass away. Behold, all things are become new." That's why when Nicodemus spoke to Jesus at night, and he told him, no man could do these miracles except God is with him. And Jesus said to him, you must be born again of the spirit and of the water to enter into the kingdom of heaven. You know, you and I, and Nicodemus tried to touch it. He said, could I go back into my mother's womb? You and I was born from our mothers. And so we could trace our ancestry back to Adam and Eve. However, in Ephesians chapter 2, it says that we was dead in our sins. So we're walking around in our body, yet we're dead spiritually. We don't want no part of God. And so Jesus said, you must be born again of the Spirit of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the spirit is spirit. So we must be born again of this spirit of God. We were born once in our flesh from our mothers, right? We was born once from our mothers. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when we accept that he died, that he was buried, when we accept that he resurrected, and believe in our heart, and we are sincere with the Lord, we become born again. We just woke up. The Holy Spirit just woke us up from our death. He resurrected us. Hallelujah. He resurrected us. That's why when Jesus said to the disciples, and greater works than these shall you do. Well, when you speak to a person, and they in turn are converted, they in turn accept Christ as the Lord and Savior, you just resurrected the dead. They might be in the physical, it appears to be alive, but spiritually they were dead. They had no part with Christ. Now, being born again of the Spirit of God, we have a relationship with God. Not religion, a relationship. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7. And the Word of God says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham." Remember Abraham, God tested him and told Abraham to sacrifice his son, Isaac, the promised son. And Abraham's, you know, even though his heart didn't want to do it, he didn't want to do it. But he had faith in God because he knew that God was going to resurrect his son at the end. So Abraham went to Mount Moriah. He built an altar there. And he put the wood in. He had Isaac carry the wood up the hill, like Christ carried the cross. So Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. The altar is a type of the cross. And the young man, Isaac, said to his father, "Father, I see the wood, I see the knife, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham said to him prophetically, "God will provide a sacrifice for himself." And that's what God did. He provided a sacrifice. He provided his son. Remember in Isaiah, he said, "Who will go before us?" And the answer was, "I will go, send me." Jesus Christ, as the prophet Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." So Jesus Christ became the Lamb of God. So when we receive what God did, when we receive the enormous sacrifice that God gave through his son, Jesus Christ, and we believe it and we accept it, we are. God translates us from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. Jesus Christ becomes our Lord and Savior. God seals us with the Holy Spirit unto the day of redemption. We become part of God's family in heaven. We are considered sons and daughters of God. He makes us sons and daughters of God because of our faith. Just like Abraham had faith in God, we have faith in our God, Jesus Christ. Let's go on to power of change. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning at verse 13 through 18. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Some people don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. Here we see that the dead in Christ will come with Christ, and they will go in. Their bodies will be resurrected, a glorified body. They're going to be joined to the glorified body. And then we will be caught up as also. We will be changed. when you read it in Corinthians, Paul says, in a twinkling of an eye, this mortal must put on immortality. This carnal must put on incarnality. And we're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. We're going to be caught up. We're going to meet the Lord in the clouds. When he comes second time to rescue Israel is when he comes with the army of heaven and he puts his feet on Mount Olivet. There's a difference between meeting in the clouds and putting your feet on the Mount of Olivet. We don't believe in a yo-yo rapture. Go up and come down and go up again. No, that's not the way it is. We're going to go up and meet him in the clouds. He's going to take us to the Father's house. We're going to go to the Bema Seat judgment. We're going to have a Seder meal. There's going to be a wedding feast. All this is going to be about 7 years, which addresses the 7 years of tribulation that the Jewish people, the children of disobedience, the Gentiles will all go through before the coming back of Jesus Christ. When he comes back with his army, he's going to put his feet on Mount Olivet. There's going to be a great earthquake, just like it was when he gave his body up on the cross. There's going to be a great earthquake. Mount Olivet will split in two. And the water that gushed out will go to the Dead Sea and heal the Dead Sea. And Jesus will set up his millennium kingdom here for 1,000 years. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. And we know that the angel will come down. Jesus will give him the keys. Satan will be bound for 1,000 years. The Antichrist, the false prophet, will be cast into the lake of fire with all those who have taken the mark of the beast. So there's power of change. You know, at one time we was dead in our sins. But when Christ comes into our life, because he resurrected, we have life. We have eternal life. The word of God tells us in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, and this is a famous verse, and we all should know it. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And that's the gospel right there, my brothers and sisters. You know, why are you denying the obvious? I don't know. For those of you that don't believe in the pre-tribulation wrath, you have to examine the scriptures again. You have to examine yourself. You look in the mirror and you say, am I of the faith that the word of God speaks of? Why is it that Thessalonians says we're going to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, compared to Matthew 24, where it says that all eyes will see him coming in the clouds? And then in Zechariah, it says that they will question him as to where he got these marks from. So there's a difference between them, the two events, my brothers and sisters. This one's called the rapture. Some people don't accept it because the word rapture is not found in the English translation, and that's correct. But if you look in the Latin translation, it says rapimo, which is rapture in English, where you read caught up, where you read General Assembly, a great cloud of witness. When you read caught up there, that's hapazo. Taken out the way, harpazo in the Greek. You snatch somebody, like for instance, let's say you see a little child and here comes a big truck. You're going to snatch that boy, that girl out of the way. That is harpazo. That's what Christ is going to do to us. When you read Revelation 3 and 10, it says he will keep us from the hour of temptation. Not through, but from. He's going to rapture us up, and we're going to be with the Lord. And unfortunately, there's going to be people who don't believe in the pre-tribulation rapture. They believe in the mid-trip. Some believe in the post-trip. And here's very clear. The scripture that we read speaks of a pre-tribulation rapture. And, you know, I pray for all my brothers and sisters for whatever they believe in. I pray that they receive a revelation of the Word of God, and that they submit themselves wholeheartedly to God and know that Christ, there is an imminent return of Jesus Christ. Even before this program is over, boom, the rapture could be taking place. Are you ready? You can't get ready. You have to be ready. Are you ready for the rapture, or are you going to be left behind? Do you listen to people who don't believe in the whole scriptures, or do you believe in the whole scriptures? Look what it said. We read it there in Galatians 3:7, that because we have faith like Abraham, God made us his children. We have faith in the rapture. People have faith to be saved. People have faith to be healed. People have faith to be delivered. But they don't have faith for the rapture. And yet the rapture is received by faith. We are calling those things that are not as though they are. We are submitting ourselves unto God. The Word of God tells us, submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil, he will flee from you. Glory be to the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, look at the scriptures. Look at the verses I gave you, talking about the power of change. Genesis 1:31, everything was perfect. Genesis 3:1-18 or so, thereabouts. The closure regarding disobedience, sin, and the curse. Genesis 3:19 about this body would return to dust again. Ecclesiastes 12:7, same thing. The body will decay, will go back to dust, and go back to the ground, and the spirit will go back to God who gave it. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, Paul tells the Corinthian church, look, if you're in Jesus Christ, it's not the same as you was before. You're a different person. You're alive now. You belong to the one new man. In Galatians 3:7, the same thing. We have faith. Like Abraham, we're going to be saved because we have faith in what the Word of God says. In Thessalonians 4:13-18, it talks about us being changed, us being caught up into the heavens to be with the Lord. So all these verses, when you look at them and you pray about them, could bring you to one conclusion and one conclusion at all. I must be ready now. I can't get ready. I can't dibble and data with pre-trip, mid-trip, post-trip. I want to go when Jesus comes. That is pre-tribulation. And another verse that seals it is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, for God had not appointed us. Let me fix this page. For God had not appointed us to his wrath. That's the 7-year tribulation. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, you know, are you going to go through the wrath of God, the 7-year tribulation? Are you going to deny the salvation that's in Jesus Christ? It's something else, my brothers. When you read the book of Hebrews, it talks about that Jesus is coming back without sin, with flaming fires upon those who believe not the gospel. Hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, there is power in the change. And if you have not been a born-again Christian or you have questions, then I would encourage you to pray about it and ask the Lord to guide you and direct you in the right way so you don't miss the rapture. You could follow me in prayer before we close out. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I've heard the scriptures and what the preacher had to say. And Lord God, I don't understand it all, but I don't want to be left behind, Lord God. I want to be able to go with you when you call me and change me from being a child of this world, Satan, to your child, my God. I give myself wholeheartedly unto you, my Lord. I don't want to retain anything that's unpleasing unto you. Please forgive me of all my sins. I acknowledge all my sins. I repent of my sins. And Lord God, I'm asking that you wash me with the precious blood of the Lamb. I read how the thief on the cross didn't get baptized, was no part of no church, didn't stay to receive the Holy Spirit, yet Jesus, you took him to paradise that same day, took him to heaven that same day. And Lord God, look at me. I'm a feeble person. I'm sorry for my sins. Please forgive me. Please write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life so I could make it into to heaven, so I could be part of the rapture, so I could be called up, so I could hear the sound of the trumpet, so I could hear that shout, so I could hear the voice of the archangel, Lord God, could be ready. Help me to study your word. Guide me by your Holy Spirit. If you don't come these days, oh Lord, guide me to a church where I'm going to grow spiritually. Help me to do the right thing, Lord God. I can't do the right thing because all these years without you, I've done the wrong thing. I surrender myself unto you, Lord God. Please forgive me. Guide me and direct me in the way that I should go. If the rapture, if the calling up of the church happens tonight, Lord God, I want to be part of that. I don't want to be left behind. So I receive Christ into my heart. I recognize he died for me. He was buried to the scriptures, and he resurrected according to the scriptures, Lord God. And I receive that into my heart. Lord, your word says that a man believes with his heart and confesses with his mouth salvation. So I want to thank you, Lord God. I believe with my heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus. Lord God, I surrender all unto you. I have nothing to give but my all. But thank you, Lord God, for this opportunity that you have given unto me. Lord Father God, if this is the last teaching that I receive, Lord God, on this earth, let it be so. I believe it, and I receive it, and I accept it. And Lord, Father God, I want that power to change in me, the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Glorify you. I praise you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Let me give you the little itinerary for the church before we close out on the program. And that is that on Sundays at 6 p.m., we have Bible Mystery. This week mystery is we're going to compare Acts chapter 2:27 and Joel chapter 2:29 and find out what's the difference there and learn about it. On Thursdays we have Bible study at 6 p.m. like today. We're studying Is Christianity Real? Next week we're going to cover power in the name and power in the word. Tuesdays at 3 a.m. in the morning, that's the new time, we have intercessory prayer on Tuesdays at 3 o'clock in the morning. I would encourage you to tell your family, friends, and neighbors to join us here on Blog Talk Radio, 516-418-5944. And until then, may the Lord richly bless you. Amen.